The following is a sermon from the Vicar at Sure Foundation, a church located in Woodside, Queens, New York, the world's most diverse community. For more information and for more audio content, go to sure-foundation.org.
The lesson for our sermon today comes from Hebrews chapter 9. For Christ did not enter a sanctuary made with human hands that was only a copy of the true one. He entered heaven itself, now to appear for us in God's presence. Nor did he enter heaven to offer himself again and again, the way the high priest enters the most holy place every year with blood that is not his own. Otherwise, Christ would have had to suffer many times since the creation of the world. But he has appeared once for all, at the culmination of the ages, to do away with sin by the sacrifice of himself. Just as people are destined to die once and after that to face judgment, so Christ was sacrificed once to take away the sins of many. And he will appear a second time, not to bear sin, but to bring salvation to those who are waiting for him. This is the word of the Lord. The movie Inception is about planting ideas in people's heads by entering their dreams. To do this, the main characters have to build and construct dreams that support whatever ideas they want to plant in that person's head. And then at just the right moment, they go ahead and they plant the idea in that person's head. If it works, the victim will wake up with these ideas in their head that will have long-lasting effects on their real-life reality. At one point in the movie, the main character says, "When we're in our dreams, they feel real. It's only when we wake up that we realize that things were strange." Today, the author to the Hebrews wants us to wake up to our real reality. We learn from this lesson that what we can see and understand from this world around us is just a copy. It isn't real and true reality. All of this is just a copy. While Jesus was on earth, he saw through copies all of the time to the true reality. Jesus saw a mustard seed, a copy, and he said that it was like the kingdom of God. Jesus saw the great religious teachers of the day, and he said that they were vipers. Jesus saw a dead person and said that they were only sleeping. Today, we will have the chance to set aside copies to reveal realities. Our first couple verses of our lesson for today talk about the Day of Atonement. Every year on the 10th day of the 7th month, the Israelites observed the Day of Atonement. And this was one day out of their complex calendars of sacrifices and rituals, but it was the most important day. This was the only day out of the whole year of their complex calendar of sacrifices and rituals where someone could enter the most holy place. And that someone had to be the high priest. But before he could enter, he had to sacrifice a bull and a goat and sprinkle their blood on the altar and on the atonement cover to clean his own sins, to cleanse and erase his own sins and the sins of the Israelites. Can you imagine the sights, the sounds, the smells, and the cost of the Day of Atonement and of all of their sacrifices? The smell of blood and death would have been everywhere. The stains of blood would have dotted the priest's clothing and the ground around him. And not to mention that hungry Israelites were giving up really good food sources. This was tough. In contrast to this, we hear that Christ did not enter a sanctuary made with human hands that was only a copy of the true one. He entered heaven itself. The tabernacle that the Israelites could see was just a copy. It was the place where God chose to dwell among his people on this earth, but it was only a copy. His true and his real presence will be so much more grand and real in heaven. The priests carried out year after year at the temple were just copies. Sure, they blotted out sin, but only because they pointed to and forgave from the one true sacrifice that Christ made on the cross. Christ's sacrifice on the cross is reality. And not only that, but it is your reality. At times, it's difficult to perceive things greater than what our eyes see. Our sinful nature and the world around us try really hard to cut our vision short and to make us focus on all of this, the world. At Jesus' time, the Israelites wanted to stick with the temple sacrifices that they could understand and that they could see, instead of trusting that Jesus provided a truer and a greater reality through his sacrifice. In our day, we are constantly hearing messages that this is all there is. Atheistic ideology says that there's nothing after this life. So go ahead and assign value wherever you want to assign it. Postmodern philosophy says that there's no objective reality. There's no one objective reality that we all experience together. So don't worry about anyone but yourself. Pop culture encourages multiple partners, experiences, and substances because this is it. Enjoy. If you've been put to sleep by these ideologies, even if it's just a little bit, let the author to the Hebrews wake you up this morning. We have a reality in Christ that is so much greater and bigger in Christ. There is a true sacrifice that takes away all sin of all time and gets rid of all the copies that took place at the temple. Christ on the cross. There's a true presence of God that we will experience in its fullness in the heavenly realms, and which is so much better than any earthly copy we can experience here on earth. There is true forgiveness and purification for us because Christ entered heaven itself. The next copy that the writer to the Hebrews unveils for us is found in verse 26. It says, "But he has appeared once for all at the culmination of the ages to do away with sin by the sacrifice of himself." The copy that we come across here in this verse has to do with sin. And the copy here emerges when we pass by and brush by the sentence and don't recognize the gravity. When we say, sin isn't so bad. I know that I should try to avoid doing these bad things, and God knows that I normally try to avoid these bad things. But if I do this one thing this one time, it's not like it's going to throw off my whole relationship with God. I'm a Christian. It's fine. How does it say that Christ did away with sin? By the sacrifice of himself. These things that we try to tell ourselves are just false copies of reality. Here is reality. Hebrews 9:22 says that without blood, there is no forgiveness. The stain of sin remains on us. Romans 6:23 says that the payment for sin is death. Without blood, there is no forgiveness. The requirement for forgiveness of sins is blood, death, a sacrifice. The reality is that because of our sins, blood was required of someone. And unlike the high priests who went and sacrificed something else, Jesus did away with sin by the sacrifice of himself. God's own blood had to be spilled on the cross as a sacrifice to do away with all of our sins. And that's exactly what he did. The devil would have you believe that you should stop there, that that's your whole truth, that your sin is bad and that it still remains on you. But Jesus wants you to know this morning that his sacrifice was carried out willingly. It was carried out perfectly, and it was carried out with the full love of God for you. Jesus wants you to know that his sacrifice completely eliminated all sins of all time. This isn't some knockoff forgiveness that you can go buy at a corner store, but will wear off after a little bit of time. This is the real deal. Bought with the holy, precious blood of Jesus Christ himself. The Son of God himself, by the sacrifice of himself, has made you a member of his family, has made you his own dear child, and has wiped away every stain of sin from your life. Another copy that we find in this lesson has to do with judgment. When we think about judging and judgment, you might think of the phrase, "Don't judge me," which has become all too common in today's age. It has almost become like a right for you to do anything that you want to do without being judged for it, right? But our lesson for today says almost the opposite. Here's what our lesson says. People are destined to die once, and after that to face judgment. That's our lot. That is what is going to happen to us. So don't fool yourselves into thinking that we can somehow escape judgment. The Bible talks about it all over the place. All people will be judged. Jesus is going to come back riding on the clouds. He's given all authority in heaven and on earth to judge, and he will judge the living and the dead. He will separate them to his right and to his left. And this isn't like some reality show where we can simply watch while other people get judged and escape from it ourselves. And where all that's in play is making it to the next round or going home. Of all of us, God is going to demand an answer for all of the times that you've placed money as your idol. For all the times that you've spoken harshly to your family. For all the times that you've been proud and thought that you had all the answers. God will demand an answer. And what's at stake here is a lot. Eternal life or eternal death. But the true reality that we have in Christ, that's true for you, true for me, is that Christ, our judge, is coming to bring salvation. He isn't coming to bring vengeance. The first time that Christ came, he came to carry our sin. He came to carry it and then to throw it to the bottom of the ocean. And the second time, Christ will return to bring salvation with him. Christ will look at you. He will gaze at you intently and say, "I see that you have put your trust and your faith in me. I see that you are without sin. I see that you have been purified by my sacrifice on the cross. Stand at my right and enter paradise. You were created to live with me in God's presence forever." Christ isn't coming to bring vengeance against you. Christ, our judge, is coming to bring salvation for you. On that last day, we won't be terrified or fearful of him, our Savior. We will have love and joy and longing expectation as we leave the copies of this world to enter our true reality in Christ. This is your reality in Christ. And so as we wait for that last day, when we will enter our true reality, let's live like there is a greater reality in Christ. On that last day, we won't have terror or fear, but we will have love and joy and expectation and excitement. There's so much more than what our eyes can see because Christ has provided greater reality. And he is coming back to bring us salvation. Amen.